good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks to Peter Werby for at least making an effort last night to fill in for us. Well, I did a pollen count on how much crap it collected in my lungs. It is rough in Georgia. Every spring, the pollen count, you know, a high pollen count down here is 150, and usually the pollen count goes up to like 6,000-7,000. So anyway, that's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. I'm a little bit high tonight on antihistamines, but that's okay. It'll make the show much more interesting, at least for me. new poll from the Pew Research Center finds a staggering drop in the public awareness about fatalities in Iraq. Our people, our soldiers, our men and women. The report from the Pew Research Center says public awareness of the number of American military fatalities in Iraq has declined sharply since just last August. In the recent poll taken a few days ago, only 28% of American adults are able to say that approximately 4,000 Americans have died in Bush's war. Now, the official number as of March 10th, a couple days ago, Department, and it's gone up since then, the Department of Defense confirmed 3,974 U.S. military personnel. 13 U.S. deaths are pending confirmation. Jesus, that's miserable, isn't it? I mean, to talk like that. In August last year, 54% correctly identified the fatality level at the time, about 3,500 deaths. And in previous polls going back to the spring of 2004, about half respondents could correctly estimate the number of U.S. fatalities around the time of the survey. Now it's down to just a fourth of the adult population in this country even knows how many Americans. We really don't care, do we? This is the most obscene invasion and occupation I think that we've ever been involved in. We've been involved in some doozies. But this one is astonishing because it's gone on for 14 years. The number of deaths that we've suffered, that we have perpetrated against the Iraqi people, our wounded, our soldiers coming back who are just absolutely messed up, physically as well as mentally, psychologically, emotionally, nothing being done for them. This is horrifying stuff. But, you know, we don't pay all that much attention. You know, we really don't. 28% of American adults are able to say that approximately 4,000 Americans have died in the Iraq War. But guess what? 84% of Americans know that Oprah Winfrey is supporting Senator Barack Obama for president. When the Pew Research Center comes up with a stat like that, I don't know. I want to crawl under a rock. I really do. 84% of Americans know that Oprah Winfrey is supporting Barack Obama. 28% of us know how many of our fellow Americans, our soldiers and Marines, have died in and I bet you not one in 50,000, not one in a million, maybe 10 million Americans know how many Iraqis have died. And the reason for that is, as was said early on, who was it? Tommy Frank said, we don't do death reports. We don't keep track of the Iraq. Yeah, why not? You know, why keep track of them? They're just, you know, they're this war's gooks, as John McCain still refers to the Vietnamese. They are, you know, the Iraqi people are this war's gooks. So, you know, what difference does it make? They're not even human. Now, the study also finds from the Pew Research Center that over the same period of time, from last August till now, the media coverage on the Iraq War has dropped to 3%. 3% of the total garbage put out there by these whorish news organizations. And have you noticed how much is on, you know, Spitzer and now the 21 or 22-year-old woman and all of this garbage? It's just gagging. 3% of so-called news by these filthy, corrupt news agencies, 3% is concerning the occupation and invasion and occupation and death toll of American soldiers, Okay, you know, the Iraqis don't count. They're just the collateral damage, children being blown up, women, old men, young men, bleh, who cares, you know. But 3% of the news covers the occupation, the invasion. The percentage of news stories devoted to the war last year was 15% last July. And as of last month, 3%. So I don't know how to interpret that. I guess it's further proof of the incredible ability that we all have to engage in absolute utter denial. The only people who know what's going on are the people who have sons and daughters and fathers and brothers and cousins and aunts and uncles in Bush's filthy war. Those people know acutely and intensely what's going on. You and I, unless we're keeping track, the rest of America couldn't care less. Couldn't care less. The Pentagon said yesterday it's canceling its plans for a... remember we talked about this last week. McClatchy newspapers reported there's this report, a study that found it's very, I mean, we all know this, but this is the Pentagon's report that said there was absolutely no pre-Iraq war link between Saddam Hussein and anything even remotely resembling an al-Qaeda, which may be like the Mujahideen in Afghanistan back in the days of Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski, a complete construct. Al-Qaeda, which means, what does the word mean, Kathy? It means the source or the place or the, I think it means the source, whatever. I'll get 80 emails now. But rather than posting this report online, as the U.S. Joint Forces Command said it was going to do, and making officials available from the U.S. military to discuss what's in the report, they've decided they're not going to do that. No. Report will not be posted on the Internet. And Joint Forces Command said, well, okay, we'll mail copies of the document to reporters if they ask for it. Okay, now, that's to reporters. The only reporters who might be interested in the report are reporters from McClatchy newspapers. Maybe somebody from the New York Times, maybe, maybe not. Certainly not the Washington Post. Maybe somebody from the Chicago Tribune. Maybe somebody from the Boston Globe. That's about it. So they'll mail it to reporters if asked. That's a pretty safe bet. A, who's going to ask when you have governors and prostitutes that you can report on? Who's going to ask for a report on the lies and deceptions that were told to get us into an invasion and an occupation? You know, who's going to report that? And even if they do ask for it, what reporter is going to be allowed to report the lies and corruption that first of all, were put out there by the Bush crime family, but that now the United States military has decided to go along with? General Petraeus, the apple polisher, the butt kisser, the guy in Iraq who is who, by the way, was probably had a lot to do. I've got a report. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight. Probably had a lot to do with the resignation of Admiral Fallon. We all know about the lies. We all know about the deceit and the deception and the murder and the mayhem and the just the horror of all this. So why is Joint Forces Command refusing to release it? Well, because it has actual facts and details that the Bush crime family and the U.S. military just simply does not want out there for general publication. Okay, if you request it, we'll send it to you. What do you want to bet that the report will be probably 30, 40, 50% redacted? Oh, Jesus. So anyway, We all know, you know, that in 2002 and 2003, Bush and the scum around him made this big case that, you know, if we don't invade Iraq, they're going to be dropping nukes on Dallas. And so now the study's out there. Nah, look, we changed our mind. We're going to release it. Now, never mind. Just kidding. Not going to release it. No.
With no more alibis, what if we tell? No more lies, no more lies.
Saddam Hussein aids and protects terrorists, including members of Al-Qaeda.
Well, maybe that's the reason the military command, Joint Forces Command, said they're not going to release the report, because it proves once again the murderous, filthy, impeachable lies that this psychopath that sits in the White House has committed against the Constitution, and further reasons why he should be removed as quickly as possible from office. But, of course, the Democrats are not going to do that. The report says the predominant targets of Iraqi state terror operations, and they did exist, but the targets were Iraqi citizens inside and outside Iraq. There's a summary of the report posted at abcnews.com if you want to check it out. But the report and everything about it confirms what people who didn't have their heads up their asses for the past 5 years have said. That Saddam's security services were dedicated mainly to fighting threats to his rule. He was a dictator. He was not an exporter of terrorism. He didn't care. He's not a revolutionary. Well, he's dead now. He was not a revolutionary. He didn't want to foment global revolution for some idea, whether it's religious or political. He was a tyrant, a dumb bastard dictator who liked to build palaces inside his own country and take a dump on gold-seated toilets. That's what Saddam was about. He was not about fomenting terrorism anywhere. But the Bush crime family, they continue to tell the lies, and the reason they do, there is only one reason, only one, and that is because the majority of the American public continues to buy the lie. Even the people who don't support what has happened to our forces in Iraq still believe that Saddam Hussein had something to do with Al-Qaeda. Had Al-Qaeda been able to get their heads on our hands on Saddam Hussein, they would have cut his head off. And vice versa. But you see, we in this country are too damn stupid and ignorant to get that through our heads. George Bush and the neocon killers around him took this country into an inexcusable war based on absolute lies top to bottom. There is no truth in anything that the Bush crime family used to begin this invasion and occupation. Not one thing. Nothing. Do you remember the Total Information Network? Total Information, what was it? TIA? Yeah, Total Information Awareness Program. TIP. Total Information Program. Do you remember that? It came out, it was a brainchild of John Poindexter and Elliot Abrams, two holdovers from the corruption of the first Bush administration who were involved in the wholesale slaughter in Central America. These two balls of filth came up with this Total Information Awareness Program. You remember this? Well, it was, Kathy, about 4 or 5 years ago. It was early on in the Bush crime family. Well, and then Congress heard about it, and they killed it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It has been exhumed and revitalized. It's alive! It's alive! Siobhan Gorman of the Wall Street Journal reports, when was it? I think Tuesday? That the National Security Agency, the NSA, has assembled what some intelligence officials admit is a drift net for domestic and foreign communications. A drift net. Anything that comes into it gets swept up. Here's the way the thing works. This is from Joshua Micah Marshall's Talking Points Memo Muckraker. Here's the way the whole thing is supposed to work, according to Siobhan Gorman, writing at the Wall Street Journal. Into the National Security Agency's massive databases goes data collected by the Justice Department, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of the Treasury. Now, the information includes data about email, including the recipient and the sender, the subject of the email and the time sent. It includes internet searches, sites visited and searches conducted by you. By you, booby, and certainly me. Phone calls, incoming and outgoing numbers, the length of the call, where the call was made from, and where it went to. Financial information, like wire transfers, credit card use, information about bank accounts. And information from the Department of Homeland Security about airline passengers. How did you buy your ticket? When did you buy it? How far in advance from your flight? How did you pay for it? How many pieces of luggage did you check? Son of a bitch! All of this goes to the National Security Agency. Then the NSA software analyzes all this data for indications of terrorist activity. Now, when it hits upon a suspicious pattern or word, the National Security Agency, quote, feeds its findings into the effort the administration calls the Terrorist Surveillance Program and shares that information with other U.S. security agencies. Now, I'll give you some more on this, Jesus God, when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
FISA law was written in 1978. We're having a discussion in 2006. It's a different world.
Yeah, it sure is, George. So anyway, the reported by the Wall Street Journal, Siobhan Gorman, writing in the journal, is talking about the National Security Agency has assembled what some people are saying is a reactivation of the Total Information Awareness Network that was put together by two criminals, two mass killers, two absolute, no question, none whatsoever, neo-Nazis, Elliot Abrams and John Poindexter. It was supposed to have been deep sixed, but guess what? It's back. So all of this information that comes in, email, recipient and sender addresses, internet searches, what you're looking for, what you find, phone calls, incoming and outgoing, the length of call, location, financial information, like what do you use your credit card for, information about your bank account, where you fly, how you pay for your tickets. All of this is sucked into the National Security Agency software. And then the software, quote, analyzes, end quote, this data, looking for, quote, terrorist activity, end quote. And when it hits upon a suspicious pattern or word or phrase or header or whatever it is, the NSA feeds the findings into the effort that this corrupt, filthy Bush administration calls the Terrorist Surveillance Program. And all of a sudden, that information flies out. Now, remember, we've been told over and over again that the agencies within the U.S. government can't communicate because their computers can't talk to each other. Gee, that sounds like a terrible lie, because all of a sudden, all this information sucked up goes out, whoosh, to the Department of Treasury, to the Department of Homeland Security, to the National Security Agency, to the FBI, on and on and on. Now, here's a more in-depth explanation. This is according, again, to Siobhan Gorman, writing at the Wall Street Journal, for God's sake. Two former officials familiar with the data sifting efforts said they work by starting with some sort of lead, like a phone number or internet address. And then in partnership with the FBI, the systems that can track all domestic and foreign transactions of people associated with that item, and then the people who associated with them, and then the people who associated with them. Now, stop and think for a second. Do you ever get these news group emails where it comes to you and they're like 90 names up in the sender section or the copy to section, right? Now, take those 90 and multiply it by 90 and then multiply it by 90 again and then multiply it again and again. Somewhere in that horrendous base, numerical base, all of a sudden, there might be someone who 20 years ago made a contribution to an Arab relief organization in Palestine? Iraq? So, if that's the case, working backwards from that one name, the 90 times 90 times 90 times 90 people, all of a sudden, their information is flagged. Now, their information, what do you mean information, Mike? Every damn thing. Everything. An intelligence official described more of a rapid response effect. If a person suspected of terrorist connections is believed to be in a U.S. city, for instance, Detroit, a community with a high concentration of Muslim Americans, the government's spy systems may be directed to collect and analyze all electronic communications into and out of the cities, that city. Let me repeat that. The government's spy systems may be directed to collect and analyze all, do you hear me? All electronic communications into and out of the city. All, everything. Every single electronic communication, phone call, internet, electronic transfer, data on your credit card, everything. The article goes on to say the hall can include records of phone calls, email headers and destinations, data on financial transactions, records of internet browsing. The system also collects information about other people who communicated with people in Detroit. So if they are watching all electronic communications into and out of the city of Detroit, and then they use that as the base to look at the people who made those communications. Son of a bitch, I talked to Peter Werby the other day. Uh-oh! This is where we are. How does it feel? Siobhan Gorman goes on to describe the National Security Efforts Agency's effort as basically a resurrection of that Pentagon plan, the Total Information Awareness Program, which was, you know, of course, was defunded by Congress once the details became public. But this time around, the details remain secret. The budget for all of this is classified. Siobhan Gorman quotes one official as estimating it at $1 billion. Multiply that by 30, and maybe you'll come close. Now, you got to wonder what the reaction is going to be from Congress this time, right? Okay? It's not called the Total Information Awareness Program now. It's called, well, it really doesn't have a name. It's just called IT. So, what do you think the reaction will be this time to IT? Ron Wyden, Oregon Democrat, member of the Senate Intelligence Committee who led the charge to kill the first one, says, quote, "The administration is trying to bring as much of the philosophy of the Total Information Awareness Operation as it can into the programs they're using today." He said, "This whole issue has been overshadowed by the fight over the telecoms immunity." He adds, there's not been as much discussion in the Congress as there ought to be. Okay. So that's Ron Wyden's statement. Okay. Is there a member of the Senate who is going to take to the Senate well tomorrow or the floor, whatever they call it, where they speak, and say anything to the effect that this has got to stop now, right now? Is Hillary Clinton, John McCain, or Barack Obama going to insist as candidates, nominees, whoever the hell they are, for President of the United States, that this has got to stop now? Or are we going to be treated to more and more and more of Eliot Spitzer's relations? Now we know all about the young woman. Oh, she was going to be a singer. Okay. Do you remember June, July, and August, and the first week in September of 2001? Do you remember what was on television all the time on MSNBC, CNN, and Fox? Do you remember? Think for a second. That's right. Gary Condit. Remember him? Remember the congressman from California and the questions about an intern that worked in his office and other offices? Do you remember? Without let up, on and on. He dated her. He had sex with her. He killed her. He hit her body. He was a murderer. He was a rapist. He was a thug, and Chandra Levy was his victim. Oh, my God. On and on and on. And do you remember what it took to make Gary Condit and Chandra Levy go down the memory hole, never to surface again? Do you remember? That's right. The attacks on the Trade Center and the Pentagon and the plane crash in Pennsylvania. It took a goddamn almost invasion of the United States to get these filthy media pigs off the Gary Condit story. How much have you tuned in during the day? How much of the cable news garbage junk holes are talking about Eliot Spitzer and the woman with whom he apparently was identified as number nine? Jesus. And in the meantime, what's going on? You know what's going on. Now, what do you think? When Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton is elected President of the United States, do you think that the first thing that they're going to do is call a press conference? I mean, the day after all the drunken inaugural balls, the next day, is President Clinton or President Obama going to call a news conference and say, okay, first of all, here's what we're going to eliminate now, and start down this list, starting with this drift net that the National Security Agency now has out for every single thing that you and I do? You think?
The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and my gun. And the TV god watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the people who emailed in. Al-Qaeda is Arabic for the base. Thank you. Now, Bush, was this today? Explaining why he's going to veto the House version of the Spy on America bill that he's demanding, the FISA bill. See, it's not enough. It's already going on. Every single scrap of information that can be vacuumed up is being vacuumed up. The FISA bill has nothing to do with that. It has to do with granting major corporations complete retroactive immunity for the law-breaking they have already perpetrated against the American public and the law-breaking planned, and also to stop 40 class action suits against filthy, monstrous sons of bitches like Verizon. That's what the FISA bill is all about. That is the only thing it is about. There is no interest in the FISA bill to any extent that has anything to do with protecting Americans. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. Because the information being vacuumed up now so exceeds anything that could be gotten from the FISA bill. The FISA bill, please, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, please remember this. The FISA bill is about one thing and one thing only. Corporate immunity for criminal acts. Period. Because once this is granted, any activity on the part of a corporation can be interpreted by a Bush-appointed judge as being an effort to stop terrorism. Please, for Christ's sake, get that through your head. The FISA Act is about corporate immunity. Nothing else. Nothing. 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 But Bush wants these filthy Big Brother agencies to have access to every time you wipe yourself. And they call Saddam a dictator? Listen.
This week, House leaders are finally bringing legislation to the floor. Unfortunately, instead of holding a vote on the good bipartisan bill that passed the United States Senate, they introduced a partisan bill that would undermine America's security.
Oh, my God.
The American people understand the stakes in this struggle.
No, they don't.
They want their children to be safe from terror.
Oh, well, God.
This bill is unwise. The House leaders know that the Senate will not pass it. And even if the Senate did pass it, they know I will veto it. Yesterday, the Attorney General and the Director of National Intelligence sent a letter to the Speaker explaining why the bill is dangerous to our national security.
You mean a letter?
Now House leaders are proposing to undermine this consensus.
Consensus?
Their partisan legislation would extend protections we enjoy as Americans to foreign terrorists overseas.
You lying bastard. You liar. You filthy liar. Now, why doesn't someone in national media on, you know, television go over for at least an hour what we just went over with all the visuals that can be presented to you via television, with all the information that's sitting there in the Wall Street Journal, that's sitting there in McClatchy newspapers? Why? Why not? Why is everybody worried or focused on Elliot Spitzer's penis? Why? Just like they were focused on Gary Condit's penis and Bill Clinton's penis. In the meantime, this goes on. Don't you sometimes just want to scream? Don't you? Don't you just want to say to these people, look, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. I know what the media are doing. I know what the government is doing. I know what all you people are doing. Do you think I'm this stupid? Don't you want to, don't you? And not in a very calm, exhausted sound to your voice like that. I mean, really, and what would happen if you did do that? What would happen if you showed up in the halls of Congress or on the floor of a major American newspaper or television network? What would happen if you showed up all by yourself, no weapon, no sign, and just started screaming that? What would happen? You would go to jail. You would. You'd be locked up. Well, as the poet said, as Kathy said, do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. I guess this would be a good time to remind you, I haven't mentioned the Nova M Founders Club in a long time. And as a result of that, membership has really dropped. Come on, y'all. I'll tell you what, there's a little gift for you. There's a free signed book, the book that Shelley Drobny wrote, Road to Air America. It'll be signed by me and Shelley. Ooh, big whoop. It's Shelley's book, not mine. But this is, we're talking about $9.95 a month or $100 a year. If you haven't signed up to be a founder of Nova M Radio, will you go to the website and do it? Will you? The time may come when that membership means a hell of a lot more than we could possibly know that it means today. Okay? NovaMradio.com. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. A couple emails here. One from Barry says, I feel almost certain I'd read all those details before, including the part about Detroit as an example of complete coverage, you know, sucking up all the information. Yeah, that was those details. Detroit, I think Detroit was used as an example during the revelations of the Total Information Awareness Network, which was, what, 5 years ago? How long ago was it, Kathy? 6 years ago? Anyway, Barry goes on, by the way, the FISA bill isn't about corporate immunity. For Christ's sake, Mike, get this through your head. It's about preventing discovery, about preventing more thorough revelations of Bush's own crimes. Corporate immunity is a side benefit at best. That is why Bush is more frantic about this than anything in the last 7 years. Read Glenn Greenwald. He understands it all the best. I tend to disagree with that. I don't think Bush is afraid of anything. I don't think Bush is frantic about anything. I really don't. That kind of, the personality type that Bush is, precludes any kind of consideration that he might be discovered. This is hubris raised to the 20th power. He doesn't give a damn. No, I disagree, Barry. This is about protecting not just the telecoms. I made that point a week or two ago. Everybody thinks it's only about telecoms. They're not the only one that entities that have been scooping up information that have been violating the law. Also, credit card companies, banking institutions, all sorts of places have been filtering this information in. So, with all due respect, Barry. Oh, and Adam in Tampa says the definition of Al-Qaeda in Arabic, it means thank Allah for Bush. You may have missed this. Andrew Sullivan, who has a blog at The Atlantic. Andrew Sullivan, who at one time was a big supporter of everything Bush did, And he was, a staunch Republican, even though he's a gay man. And I could never figure out why Andrew Sullivan would support anything that was Republican. But he's had sort of a conversion. But he says, you may have missed it. Almost everyone missed it. But Bill Clinton was on Rush Limbaugh's show the day of the Texas primary. Yeah. Well, I missed it, Andrew, because I don't listen to that. But Andrew writes, Limbaugh himself was sick that day, apparently, but he had already urged Republicans to cross over to keep Hillary Clinton in the race. Bill Clinton saw an opening, and he went there. And then Sullivan writes, now, wrap your mind around this. The Clintons were happy to support a cynical partisan Republican campaign to wound the Democratic frontrunner, and they were brazen enough to go on the Limbaugh show to do so. Andrew writes, there also seems little doubt the Republican mischief played a real role in affecting the results in Texas, and they call Obama's call for them to release their tax returns a tactic worthy of Ken Starr. Remember that? When was that, Kathy? About a week ago? Where they throw that. And that takes a lot of nerve to bring up Ken Starr's name. Oh, my God. Sullivan writes, I repeat, the chutzpah and the cynicism just leaves you speechless. And as you find it impossible to do much but sputter, the Clintons plow on with new self-serving lies. You know how I realized this, Andrew writes? I saw firsthand the way they dealt with gay issues in their first term. They didn't just wimp out on or push for marriage equality. They actively pivoted off homophobia to get a few points. The Clintons even put anti-gay ads on Christianist radio stations in the South to build support for the 1996 re-election. And they continue to show up, these radio spots, at gay events. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Clintons continue to show up at gay events claiming to be avatars for our civil rights, and the stupid gays still believe them. Now, this is from a gay man, from Andrew Sullivan. Hi. On the Limbaugh program, Bill Clinton goes on the Limbaugh program. Yes?
Well, I would be more shocked, but I just saw Helen Thomas on a video dressing up like Condi Rice, giving geography lessons and accepting a kiss from a man I believe is Satan.
Right. Oh, God. You are aware of the hateful statements that Sally Kern, who is a Republican state representative in Oklahoma, the hateful, hurtful statements that she made against the gay community. She's the one that said the worst threat to America are not terrorists or Muslims, but gay men and women. That's what she said. And she refuses to apologize for it. She refuses to back down. But a friend of ours out in Oklahoma, Gordon, sent me a letter that has appeared. It was written by a high school senior named Tucker. And Tucker's aunt, named Elizabeth, posted this letter at a local television station's comment site. All right. Can you stretch a little bit on this? Okay. Here's the letter. Representative Kern, on April 19th, 1995, in Oklahoma City, a terrorist detonated a bomb that killed my mother and 167 others. 19 children died that day. Had I not had the chicken pox that day, the body count would have likely have included one more. Over 800 other Oklahomans were injured that day, and many of those still suffer through their permanent wounds. That terrorist was neither a homosexual, nor was he involved in Islam. He was an extremist Christian, forcing his views through a body count. He held his beliefs and made those who didn't live up to them pay with their lives. As you were not a resident of Oklahoma on that day, Representative Kern, it could be explained why you so carelessly chose words saying that the homosexual agenda is worse than terrorism. I can almost certainly tell you through my own experience that is not true. I'm sure there are many people in your voting district that laid a loved one to death after the terrorist attack on Oklahoma City. I kind of doubt you'll find one of them that will agree with you. I was 5 years old when my mother died. I remember what a beautiful, wise, and remarkable woman she was. I miss her. Your harsh words and misguided beliefs brought me to tears because you told me that my mother's killer was a better person than a group of people that are seeking safety and tolerance for themselves. As someone left motherless and victimized by terrorists, I say to you very clearly, you are absolutely wrong. You represent a district in Oklahoma City, and you very coldly express a lack of love, sympathy, or understanding for what they've been through. Can I ask if you might have chosen wiser words were you a real Oklahoman that was here to share the suffering with Oklahoma City? Might your heart be a bit less cold had you been around to see the small bodies of children being pulled out of rubble and carried away by weeping firemen? I've spent 12 years in Oklahoma public schools, and never once have I had anyone try to force a gay agenda on me. I have seen, however, many gay students beat up, and there's never a day in school that has went by when I haven't heard the word queer slung at someone. I've been called gay slurs many times, and they hurt, and I'm not even gay, so I can just imagine how a real gay person feels. You were a school teacher, and you've seen these things, too. How could you care so little about the suffering of some of your students? Let me tell you the results of your words in my school, Representative Kern. Every openly gay and suspected gay in my school were having to walk together Monday for protection. They looked scared. They've already experienced enough hate, and now your words gave other students even more motivation to sneer at them and call them names. After all, you're a teacher and a lawmaker, and many young people have taken your words to heart. That happens when you assume a role of responsibility in your community. I seriously think before this week ends that some kids here will be going home bruised and bloody because of what you said. I wish you could have met my mom. Maybe she could have guided you in how a real Christian should be acting and speaking. I've not had a mother for nearly 13 years now, and wonder if there were fewer people like you around, people with more love and tolerance in their hearts instead of strife, if my mom would be here to watch me graduate from high school this spring. And now she won't be here. So I'll be packing my things and leaving Oklahoma to go to college elsewhere and one day be a writer, and I have no intentions to ever return here. I have no doubt that people like you will incite crazy people to build more bombs and kill more people again. I don't want to be here for that. I just can't go through it again. You may just see me as a kid, but let me teach you something. Let me try. The old saying is sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Well, your words hurt me. Your words disrespected the memory of my mom. Your words can cause others to pick up sticks and stones and hurt others. Sincerely, Tucker.
I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard rain.
Your rage on. It's Mike Malloy.
Take my hand.
22 past the hour.
Break
my I don't know who someone like Representative Sally Kern, who do they appeal to? Who believes that Sally Kern is worthy of being a state legislator? Who thinks that Sally Kern is speaking from anything other than fear and hate? who could believe that she's anything but a false leader? How could a woman be a school teacher, or a man for that matter, a school teacher, a legislator, and say that gay folk in this country are a bigger threat to America than terrorists? Who can do that unless they're absolutely clinically insane, or unless they themselves are self-loathing homosexuals? That's the only thing I can think of. That Sally Kern must be a lesbian woman who hates herself for who she is. Hates herself. So she projects it. She sticks it out there and splatters everybody in her state with the hatred that she feels for herself. I mean, come on. What other reason? There is no other reason I can think of that is rational. To make a statement that gay folk are more of a danger to America than terrorists? This is a sick woman. This is a very, very disturbed woman that needs some help. She either needs help in accepting who she is, or she needs help in understanding just the basic elements of humanity, a human dignity. I don't know how else to put it. Or she's a pandering old bitch who's just decided, well, I'll play the gay card. That's what I'll do. That'll solidify my position as a member of the Oklahoma General Assembly. That's what I'll do because I'm a sour old bitch. You suppose? What makes people make these kinds of statements?
Well, Mike, you said bitch. That's sexist.
Yeah. George Bush, by the way, David Cole from The Nation points this out, that Bush made history a couple days ago when he became the first American president to use the veto power to preserve the right to torture. Think about that. This is a president who used the executive power vested in his filthy, murderous hands by the U.S. Constitution to preserve the right to torture. O'Brien would be proud of this guy. Oh, my God, would he be proud of him. Of course, Bush doesn't call it torture. He calls it enhanced interrogation techniques. That sounds so much more civilized, doesn't it? And according to David Cole, and you know this, but quoting David Cole, the president can't actually tell us ostensibly because if Al-Qaeda knew how we interrogate, you see, it would steal its fighters to withstand the tactics. Oh, yeah, that'll work. Uh-huh. That makes sense. George Bush is such a dumb bastard that he really thinks that if we say, no, we're not going to torture anymore. No, forget that. Yeah, we're going to torture, but we're going to use waterboarding. That somehow the Al-Qaeda terrorists who want to get into your credit card bill, the Al-Qaeda terrorists would then teach their people to withstand waterboarding. Let me tell you something. Jesus couldn't withstand waterboarding. But so he doesn't want to call it waterboarding. He calls it enhanced interrogation techniques for that very reason. Because if Al-Qaeda knew, then they would teach their people to withstand it. On the other hand, he doesn't want to use the term except when he wants to use it. Because hasn't this filthy administration recently admitted that the CIA used waterboarding against three or four Al-Qaeda suspects, including the hapless Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who has done everything wrong to this country for the past 60 years? He admitted it all. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed admitted all of it. Yeah, I did everything. Whatever it is, I did it. I did it. I did it. And didn't Bush say that, well, that was the result of waterboarding? So, he's the first American president to use the veto power.
Thinking about you, I ain't a hurting nobody. I ain't a hurting no one.
stressed out? Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
It's about 26 before the hour. It's just unnerving what this guy does, right? This Bush thug. First president in U.S. history to use veto power to preserve the right of his filthy government to torture. David Cole adds, Bush says so-called hardened terrorists merit different treatment from captured soldiers. But in this conflict, Bush's war on terror, that distinction quickly dissolves. What exactly is the basis for treating suspected terrorists differently from other human beings? What is it? Suspected. We have 300 plus people locked up, or is it 400 in Guantanamo, none of whom, or is it four now, who have had charges? That's right. I think four have had charges finally brought against them, and the prosecutors are seeking the death penalty, and there will be no... this is like show trials during the Joe Stalin years in the old Soviet Union. That's the kind of trial they're going to get unless somehow the Congress of the United States stops this. And I don't think they're going to do that, because that would mean the Republicans could run commercials against them saying they were soft on terrorism and they were trying to release all the terrorists in Guantanamo to come to America and rape our children. But what is the basis for treating suspected terrorists, someone who has been sold to the American military by some Taliban prick in Afghanistan, who says, hey, I got a terrorist for you here. How much you give me for him? How much you want? 2,500 American. Okay, you got it. Here's your terrorist. The Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. Yeah, there's a treaty that reads that way. Does not have an exception for suspected terrorists. It insists that all humans be treated equally with respect for their inviolable dignity, even when they don't respect ours. So it's nothing less than that notion of human dignity that was the real object of Bush's veto. Bush has, in effect, vetoed at his whim the idea of the essential dignity of human beings. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. None of that's nonsense to Bush. It's garbage. It's gibberish. It's horse crap. It doesn't mean a thing. Absolutely nothing. Who's the terrorist? Whomever the Bush crime family designates as a terrorist. That's whom. Who is an enemy of the state in the Soviet Union? Whomever the state designates as an enemy, that's who. Astonishing, isn't it? But that's right. Instead of focusing on this, the cable network talk programs and the television newscasts focus on what's going to happen now to Elliot Spitzer, now that he's been caught lighting somebody else's candle other than his wife's? It's astonishing, right? Huh? Okay, so he's resigned, he's gone, but now we're going to be treated to endless loops of prostitution and call girl rings and the 22 or is she 21 year old who all she wanted to do was go to New York and be a singer. But guess what? And now, of course, now that Kirsten or Kristen, whatever her name is, now that she has been discovered and her identity out there, that is the kiss of life in America. This young woman will now become famous forever. Her life and her career have been made. She can leave her position as a, quote, high-priced call girl, end quote, and she can now move on to whatever level of life, liberty, and luxury she chooses. There will be paths beaten to her door by agents, by record companies, by book publishing folks, personal representatives. It's all hers now. This is America. This is the United States 2008 or 2000 or 1996, or it really doesn't matter. What does matter is celebrity-ness. And this young woman now is at the pinnacle, the peak. This couldn't have happened to her unless, in a different aspect, unless she would have discovered the genetic code that would break down cancer cells and therefore render them inoperable inside the human body. Then she might have reached this peak. Or if she would have discovered some way to unlock the power of fusion and convert water into an endless supply of energy, then she might have reached this peak. But what did she do to reach this peak, thanks to American media? She had sex with the governor of the state of New York. John McCain, you talk about, I've got something here on McCain and Obama. McCain hails as his spiritual advisor this Ohio thug named Rod Parsley. He owns and operates a mega church where people stumble in every Sunday and wail and weep and raise their hands and receive the Holy Spirit. And Rod Parsley has called upon the people who stumbled into his cave and onto his television ministry. He wants them, Rod Parsley wants them to wage a war against Muslims. The aim of the war is to destroy Islam. Now, this is the guy that wasn't McCain just in this with that psychopathic, lard-ass Pastor Hagee the other day, the one that ran the Texas church, and now here's one with an Ohio church, huh? Texas, Ohio, interesting. On February 26, McCain appeared at a campaign rally in Cincinnati with Rod Parsley of the World Harvest Church of Columbus. A supersized Pentecostal institution, and that's exactly what it is, an institution that features a 5,200-seat sanctuary, a television studio, a 122,000-square-foot ministry activity center. And that week, a day before the Ohio primary, Parsley praised McCain as a, quote, strong, true, consistent, conservative, end quote. Oh, may I kiss your gun. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I love you, McCain. Now, the endorsement was important for McCain, who at the time was trying to put an end to the challenge of another religious psychopath, Mike Huckabee, who said as soon as he got to be president, the Constitution of the United States would become bathroom tissue, and the real Constitution would be produced right out of the Bible. So in order to get around that, because there are people in this country, millions of them who vote, who thought that was an excellent idea, loaded with merit. So in order to get around that, McCain had to suck up to this other Christian psychopath, Rod Parsley, who wants war. War! Murder! Death! Parsley doesn't make it clear he wants to kill the Jews the way Hagee did. Parsley makes it clear he wants to kill the Muslims. All of them! All of them! With Parsley at his side at the Cincinnati rally, Senator John McCain called Rod his, quote, spiritual guide, end quote. Son of a bitch, McCain's spiritual guide is a crazy man who wants to murder Islam, who wants to slaughter Muslims, and McCain's last spiritual advisor was a crazy man who wants to slit the throats of every Jew who won't throw in with the Christians? McCain, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're absolutely insane. And you know millions of people are going to vote for him. They are. They're going to. And what about Barack Obama's pastor? This is a guy that says blacks should not sing God Bless America, but, quote, God damn America. Ooh! Stick around for this one. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
We've got freedom of religion. I reckon that means that we must tolerate the atheist and Jew. But Jesus is the man and our salvation. And every war we wage is in his name. We think his Bible should be taught in every nation. And we'll bomb anyone who doesn't feel the same. Welcome to Jesus' land, where we all love thy neighbor if thy neighbors understand. We won't let too many Mexicans across the Rio Grande. Welcome to
gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Barack Obama's pastor says blacks should sing, not sing God Bless America, but should sing God Damn America. The Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who is a pastor at the Trinity United Church of Christ on Chicago's South Side and has been Obama's pastor for the last 20 years. Ooh, I thought he was a Muslim. Reverend Wright has a long history, according to Brian Ross at ABC Television, of what even Obama campaign aides conceded as, quote, inflammatory rhetoric, including the assertion that the United States brought on the 9/11 attack with its own, quote, terrorism. Well, yeah, what's inflammatory about that? I mean, who doesn't understand that? That our, quote, terrorism, end quote, it doesn't make any difference what we call it. We may call it liberation. We may call it freedom. We may call it well, we're going to show these dumbass Muslims how to buy a house. But whatever we call it, it is seen by other people as terrorism. The attack on this country, if we believe the official story, was a reaction, not an action. Come on. What's wrong with saying the U.S. brought on these attacks with our own form of terrorism? I can't see anything. In a campaign appearance earlier this month, Senator Obama said, quote, I don't think my church is actually particularly controversial, end quote. He said Reverend Wright, quote, is like an old uncle who says things I don't always agree with, end quote. He told that to a Jewish group, and he added that everyone has someone like that in their family. Reverend Wright married Obama and his wife Michelle, baptized their two daughters, and is credited by Obama for the title of his book, The Audacity of Hope. An ABC News review of dozens of Reverend Wright's sermons offered for sale by the church found repeated denunciations of the U.S. based on what he described as his readings of the Gospels and the treatment of black Americans. So where's the controversy? I mean, this certainly makes sense to me. He said in a 2003 sermon the following, quote, the government, the U.S. government, gives them, black folk, the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America. No, 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 God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people, end quote. And then he goes on, God damn America, quote, for treating our citizens as less than human. God damn America for as long as she acts like she is God and she is supreme, end quote. I hate it when people refer to countries in the using a feminine pronoun. Can't you use a genderless pronoun? Oh, never mind. In addition to damning America, the Reverend Wright told his congregation on the Sunday after September 11, 2001, that the U.S. had brought on al-Qaeda's attacks because of its own terrorism. He said in a sermon dated September 16, 2001, quote, "We bombed Hiroshima, we bombed Nagasaki, and we nuked far more than the thousands in New York and the Pentagon, and we never batted an eye." He went on to say, "We have supported state terrorism against the Palestinians and black South Africans, and now we are indignant because the stuff we have done overseas is now brought right back to our own front yards. America's chickens are coming home to roost," end quote. Now, Senator Obama told the New York Times he was not at the church on the day of that sermon. And Obama said in a recent interview, quote, "The violence of 9/11 was inexcusable and without justification. It sounds to me like he was trying to be provocative," end quote. One member of the Reverend Wright's congregation outside the church last Sunday told Brian Ross or whoever at ABC News, quote, "I don't call that radical. I call it being black in America," end quote. Yeah, what, in a statement to ABCNews.com, Obama's press spokesman Bill Burton said, quote, "Senator Obama has said repeatedly that personal attacks such as this have no place in this campaign or our politics, whether they're offered from a platform at a rally or the pulpit of a church. Senator Obama does not think of the pastor of his church in political terms. Like a member of his family, there are things he says with which Senator Obama deeply disagrees. But now that he is retired, the Reverend, that doesn't detract from Senator Obama's affection for Reverend Wright or his appreciation for the good works he has done," end quote. The only question I would have is what, Jesus, I sat here on this program the other night and gave you just a partial list of the countries that we have invaded and the people we have murdered and the numbers of the astronomical slaughters that we have perpetrated in the name of so-called free enterprise, which was not free enterprise, but it was to grant corporations immunity. Oops, doesn't that sound familiar? Immunity from everything. The laws of the state or the country that the corporation goes into and starts physically raping, complete immunity. We have a 150-year-long history of this. Come on. And that's not counting what, well, let's not count what we did here. That would become overwhelming. So what's wrong with what Reverend Wright is saying? He's speaking the truth. Somebody argue the truth. Argue with the man. Say, no, you're wrong. We've not been a terrorist state. We have not perpetrated mass murder against other people. We've not overthrown governments. We've not assassinated freely elected leaders. No, we haven't done. Go ahead. Go ahead. Say that to Reverend Wright. Go ahead. Can you do it? No, not unless you're a liar or blind or both or an idiot. Or a Republican. What the hell did Reverend Wright say that was wrong? Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If you're black in this country, and for the purpose of, I don't care what the purpose was, but at one point, if you're a black person, you were counted as 3/5 of a human being, for Christ's sake. Which 2/5 did they leave off? Your legs? Your back? Your ass? Your hands. What part? Oh, God bless America. I'm sorry. I don't know. Somehow I got carried away there. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. Just a couple more quick items here, and then we're going to come to your phone calls. The number here is 800-989-1480. Patrick Coburn writing for the Telegraph of the UK, I believe. And John Bingham also writing for the Telegraph of the UK. Two separate stories, both from today. One describes a middle-aged woman living in the Sunni district of Qadra in West Baghdad. She blames the Americans for the death of her husband and two of her sons, and she is threatening revenge. She exclaims vehemently, quote, "They are monsters and devils wearing human clothes. One day I will put on an explosive belt under my clothes and then blow myself up among the Americans. I will get revenge against them for my husband and sons, and I will go to paradise," end quote. Now, you know, this is just one example. While the Bush crime family talks about the success of the surge, and the wire services claim that the country has enjoyed months of relative calm, Iraq, of course, is still convulsed by violence. And then the other one is from Afghanistan. Women and children killed in Afghanistan by a British airstrike. Two women and two children were killed, the Ministry of Defense said. It is understood that the incident in Helmand province took place after British troops had called in air support to help extricate them from a Taliban ambush at an undisclosed location in the southern part of Helmand province. Four bodies were found alongside the road. The Ministry of Defense said in a statement, "We can confirm UK forces were involved in an operation in the south of Helmand province. We deeply regret that this incident happened and do everything we can to mitigate this from happening. This incident is currently under investigation, and it would be inappropriate for us to comment." Notice they didn't mention children and women. "We were involved in an operation in the south of Helmand province. We deeply regret that this incident happened." An incident. If someone comes into your village, city, town, county, wherever the hell you live, and under whatever pretense, I don't care what the pretense is, I don't care what the rationale is, comes in and murders your husband and your two sons, or comes in and murders your wife and your two daughters, will you accept a statement from the defense ministry of that country who ordered those airstrikes and that slaughter of your family? Will you accept their statement that, well, we deeply regret this. We try to limit incidents like this from happening. We deeply regret any, inconvenience that we have caused. Now think about it, Mr. or Miss American. Really, seriously, what? I mean, come on. Just see, this is what we don't do. We don't. Not as a nation. You do it. I know you do it. So do I. But we, as a country, we don't stop and think about, oh, more women and children killed. Oh, damn. Well, you know, freedom isn't free. Well, you know, we try our best. We don't deliberately target civilians like the sons of bitches on the other side do. You know, them Viet Cong or them Japanese or them Russians or them North Koreans or them Palestinians or them, whoever it is. You know, we don't do that. So if we happen to kill some women or children, well, by Christ, it's probably because the enemy was using them as, human shields or something because, we don't. Don't do that. Yes, we do. Over and over and over again. 10,000, 100,000, 200,000, a million times. We just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And I think, really, I really think this. I really, really do believe this, truth seeker. I believe this. That if you and I, and he and she, and everybody in this country, if we all understood that, then we wouldn't do it anymore. we would bring our troops home from the 135 nations where they're stationed. We would stop the shooting wars, and we would say, look, you know, we are so sorry. We are so sorry for 150 years of mad aggression and murder and slaughter. We are so sorry. Now we're going to come home, and we're going to fortify America, and we're going to sit here. Leave us alone, because we have a lot of navel gazing to do, because we have really effed up the entire world. So we're just going to stay home, and you know, you people do whatever you want. We're so sorry. We deeply apologize. Nam Myoho Renge Kyo. We're going to sit there and say that a million to the millionth power times until we finally cleanse our spirits. Yeah! Okay! All right, last one. Email from Kay in San Francisco. I haven't had much time to write, lady, because I haven't had much time to think. School has been overwhelming. Kay's a school teacher. On top of grading term papers, processing report cards, and all of the other day-to-day responsibilities, I'm getting ready to take a group of 15 students to Washington, D.C. during the last week in March. I feel like such a fraud. The kids are so excited, as they should be, while I am completely and totally disgusted with the whole idea of Washington. Showing students the, quote, seat of democracy, end quote, up there on Capitol Hill? Talking about our wonderful system of checks and balances? Doing the whole proud to be an American thing? I can't. The Bush crime family and its Democratic enablers in Congress have ruined it for me, but more importantly, they've ruined it for America. Democracy has been replaced by corporatism, human rights by torture, and leadership by cowardice. But somehow I'll pull it together. In order to give my students a positive experience in the nation's capital, it's just that right now, as the news of the day continues to roll in, I have no idea of how to accomplish that. Kay in San Francisco. Yeah, wouldn't it be murder to be a high school civics teacher or government teacher right now? How do you stand there? How do you do that? How do you relate to your students? What the textbook says, the way you know it should be, in juxtaposition to the way it really is. How do you do that? Wow. Oh, and last thing here, Kathleen from Austin writes in that Jeff Farias covered the story of the psychopathic, crazy woman in Oklahoma, the Republican who said that, what's her name, Kern, that gays present a bigger threat to America than terrorists. Kathleen writes, Jeff covered the same story on his show and reported that her son is gay and that she has removed all reference to him from her website now. And Kathleen writes, guess the terrorist struck her, but then again, she's alive and her son is only dead to her. I don't know how you do that. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you make that kind of a statement? Oh, my God. All right. Some phone calls. Starting. Oh, we're almost at a break. All right. Well, let's just bring in Will for a minute, and if we have to put him on hold, we will. Hey, Will.
Hey, Mike.
How are you? I have to put you on hold.
All right.
I'll come right back. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
It's always the old to lead us to the wars, and always the young to fall. Look at all we've done with a saber and a gun. Tell me, was it worth it all? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese skies, and I set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw their cities burning, I knew that I was learning, but I ain't marching anymore. Now the labor leader is screaming when they close the missile plants. The United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't marching anymore.
next best thing to an impeachment hearing. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 21 past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Will is calling from Michigan, listening on the internet. Okay, where were we, Will? You just started.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
First of all, I got to thank you and Kathy for getting me in touch with Steve.
Oh, yeah. The guy who called my program two nights ago.
Yeah, who's, talking about his son.
His son,
getting colitis,
yeah,
from drinking the water in Iraq.
Right.
We've exchanged email. We're gonna. He's gonna write something for me to read at a rally on April 12th.
That's great.
And the rally's gonna be all about veterans' health care.
That's great.
Well, what I really called to talk to you about was the history behind the phrase Al Qaeda.
Okay.
It's actually a phrase coined by the CIA. And it literally means the base, but it's shorthand for the database. And what it was a computer database that the CIA compiled of information on all the Afghan fighters who Afghan resistance fighters who fought the Soviets.
Right.
So Al Qaeda doesn't really exist as an organization. It's just a computer database somewhere in the bowels of the CIA.
No surprise there. Not to me, of course. You know, we have created so many, or not we, but various U.S. governments, both Republican and Democrat, have created so many phony organizations with so many phony titles. The CIA has done so much damage to so many countries that it wouldn't surprise me a bit to find out that Al Qaeda is nothing more than a construct, a computer disk, a term that has been totally taken now by the media and the American public.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just Orwellian smoke and mirrors, really.
Yeah, Goldberg. I believe in 1984, Goldberg was.
You mean Goldstein?
Goldstein. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the old television series about.
Either that or Air
Mrs.
America
Goldberg.
Management.
Yeah, that could be too. But Goldstein. Yeah, he was the cause of everything. Al Qaeda is the cause of everything. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Let me know how it goes with your association with Steve. Okay, Will.
Sure thing.
All right, man. Take care. I appreciate you checking in. Jen is calling from Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's moving right along. How are you?
Well, good. Very good. I appreciate what you and Kathy are doing. I wanted to get back to the Kristen scandal with Spitzer, and I am going to go there with Hillary. She's been down and dirty, and maybe she's just practicing to become the next president. You know, really, in a far-off distance, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because what does Hillary do but sleep with the governor? I mean, she got married to him, too, but
yeah.
Really, I am going to go there. I'm a white woman. I am appalled at her tactics. They're, making that stretch there is the same as them calling Obama a Muslim. Mm. I am an Obama supporter, absolutely. And I am disgusted, even though I am a feminist. And I am absolute. That's thrilling. There's a woman and a black man, but let's not let McCain have a presidency because we can't get it together as all caring, decent, liberal people. You know?
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope that racism doesn't tear apart the Democratic Party. It's already turned the Republican Party into nothing more than a branch of the KKK. I just hope that the Democratic Party has the maturity and the decency to withstand some of this garbage that the Clinton campaign and its supporters are injecting. I really do. God, I hope.
I wanted to make that stretch because Obama has shown that he is such a eloquent, classy man that he does not fall for any of the baiting that is happening. And she has resorted to dirty tactics. I don't know why any woman would actually support her after that, because I think we are trying to move America forward and do something different. And she is a neocon as far as her tactics go. She's exposed herself as to what she really is, and that is to divide even the Democratic Party. She would step down. At this point, he's really won. He has really won. And she should step down and throw her support, if she really believed in the Democratic Party, behind Obama.
Well, you'd get a lot of argument about that point from Hillary supporters. You realize that, of course.
Well, I plan to talk to any of those that I can. But
well, good.
Well, I hope the message gets out. I know that it's just it's obvious the writing's on the wall with the support of the American people. The people are excited by him. They want to change. And she's not it. He's already won. And if she had any kind of a loyalty to the Democratic Party, she would just step down.
Well, that's certainly an interesting point. And you get no argument from me, Jen, but like I say, you will get argument from Hillary supporters. Thanks, Jen. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy. Stay with us.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Molloy.
Sister, what have you done?
It is about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Carl is calling from Chicago, listening on the internet. Carl?
Yes.
Southside Carl?
Yes.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, we have to be very quiet now. I'm secretly inside the House chambers.
Oh, you are?
In on the secret session that the House is having. Oh. Where Roy Blunt wants to talk about the secret evaluation that he has made about the secret information that he can't tell the rest of the Congress because it's a secret.
Carl, you crack me up. You crack me up, Carl. Oh my God!
Yeah, I was past C-SPAN on, and they were discussing the session. Mm-hmm. A lot of members were reserving objections
right.
over this entire deal about the, you know, and they said, "Oh, if you know, why doesn't anyone else know about this
mm-hmm.
or brought this to the House that if it's, you know." If it's an urgent, you know, urgency or whatnot, and
you're talking about the FISA thing,
FISA,
right.
And Roy Blunt is the one who says that the thing is, it's secret information. Now, they're sworn to secrecy, those who have seen the secret information, but they can't talk about it, but they can give an evaluation of what they think it is, and this is what they're going to discuss, but. Anything that they have during the secret session, you can't discuss that in the debate tomorrow that they're going to have.
Right.
Or, you know, or relate that, well, it was said during the secret session.
Now, see, this is why, what's the latest number I read? Something like 18%. It's worse than support for Bush. 18% of the American public gives a damn about the Congress, both the House and the Senate of the United States, and it's for this reason, for these reasons. I think what people really mean is they don't give a damn for the Republicans, and they don't give a damn for the Democratic so-called leadership right now. But that's the reason, Carl. I mean, you know, for these people to sit in there and say, well, it's a secret session, so you can't talk about the secrets in the secret session, because if you talk about the secrets in the secret session, then Al-Qaeda is going to come over here and blow up the secret session.
A couple of representatives, they question Blunt's, integrity about it. They weren't very, you know, obvious with it, but they were saying, well, you know, they can't see how this can come to that kind of urgency. That it's a privilege that any member can do,
right.
But it's a privilege that's probably being abused, because they know that, well, what they're going to try to do is he wants to try to whip up members and stuff for the debate that they're going to have tomorrow over Pfizer.
Mm-hmm.
And it sets up a scenario that, well, you can't talk about anything. Some say they weren't going to attend because they don't want to limit their ability to have debate, because you can't really talk about anything that's in debate. And some are skeptical that, well, they're going to try to use this to say that, well, we had a secret session where we discussed this, and these people, hey, they rejecting how important this is for the security of the country, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
blah,
right.
Blah.
So what you're saying is tomorrow there's going to be some kind of a debate, but they can't talk about what they're debating.
No. And, you know, this is, you know, I saw Bush earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He came out onto
right.
the outside the White House and said that, well, basically, the House needs to pass the bill that the Senate passed.
Right. Yeah, we had that soundbite on this.
And then he said that, well, if they don't, well, I told them that I'm going to veto it. They got to send me the bill that they didn't pass.
Right.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Then what you basically are saying is that, well, I got to have it my way.
Well, yeah. Well, sure. That, you know why? Because Bush is such a great leader. Carl, I got to go.
Okay, Mike.
Thanks a lot. Take care, all right? Stay in touch. Stay in touch, Carl. Oh, God. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge. Welcome to the program.
Hey there.
Hey.
There was a quote that I heard today that I want to make sure you had.
Yeah?
You know, every time they talk about this, I think his name is David Patterson, the gentleman that's soon to be the governor of New York.
Yeah, right, the new one, right.
The new guy. Every mm-hmm. time they introduce him, they always refer to him as being legally blind.
Right.
Well, he can see through the crap that some of these reporters dish up.
Well, that's good. That's good. I don't know anything about David Patterson. All I know is he's another historical first.
Yeah.
Not the fact that he's African American so much, but the fact that he's the first blind governor in the history of the republic. And the fact that he's African-American just puts a little icing on the cake.
Yeah, well, one of the reporters today asked him a point blank, have you ever dealt with a prostitute?
You're kidding.
No, I couldn't make this up, Michael.
No, I guess you couldn't.
And he stopped for a second, and then he looked at the guy through whatever vision he had.
Yeah.
He said, quote, only the lobbyists.
Did he really?
Honest to God, I said, "Oh, jeez, I gotta call Mike and tell him that."
You gotta
don't
like
you
this,
love it?
You gotta like this guy. You know, sometimes people will rise to an occasion and prove themselves to be just way beyond what anyone may have thought. You know, here comes a guy completely. Politically speaking, from nowhere. I mean,
mm-hmm.
just from nowhere. He was picked by a Spitzer to run. I think Spitzer particularly picked this guy to run as lieutenant governor. I know nothing about him. I haven't done a Google search on him. I have done nothing.
No, well,
but
I don't think you're alone in that regard.
But if he's that quick and mm-hmm. able to make that kind of a statement and has that kind of a, I don't think Spitzer would pick a fool.
No.
This may be one of those cases where somebody is through the fun that the fates play on humans every once in a while. You know, going back to Greek mythology, the absolute fun that the fates have with screwing around with human beings, and then something remarkable happens. This guy Patterson may be that kind of a situation.
I certainly hope so. One other quick quote, because it has to do with baseball. You heard about Billy Crystal?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
being getting a one-day
one-day contract with the Yankees, and he was called out.
He was
today.
A DH,
yeah,
designated
right.
Hebrew,
right?
And then he said that if he had to run at his age, if he had to run from first to second, he'd have to stop twice to pee.
Right.
I love that. You know, at our age, I can really appreciate that. I don't know if anybody else thought it was funny, but I did.
I thought it was hysterical. All right, what else you got, Marge?
Well, I think that's going to have to do. I'll go punch the pillow and go take a nap and talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Marge.
Take care.
All right, you take care, too. Yeah, Billy Christo got a one-day, honest-to-God contract, New York Yankees, and he was called out today. Count went to 3-2, and the pitcher whizzed a fastball past him or whatever. And interestingly, Crystal was Keith Olbermann's worst person in the world today because of who struck him out. But I thought that was pretty cool. I thought Billy Crystal looked like an actual baseball player up there today. I really did. My emailer writes, a nation that condones torture of suspects... Terrorists deserve to be despised and feared and hated. Attleboro and Marlboro, Vermont have the right idea. The American people have been so brainwashed into silence. The overall attitude is no matter what outrages are done, just shut up and don't make waves, or you'll be whisked away by Homeland Deutschland security to be seen no more. Yeah, and I think, and I don't know who my emailer is because he or she didn't put a name on it, but... the point being about Bush's, he's the first president in the history of this republic to veto a bill that would have outlawed torture. You know, when I stop and think about that, even now, an hour after we brought that up, it doesn't fit. I think that's something I've seen in a bad movie or maybe a David Mamet play or something, you know, because that's not, no. That can't be, you know, my government, my country, that I have a president who vetoed a bill that would have banned torture. I mean, really, just stop. Get past the words. Just take that into your head and think about it for a minute. Get past the words. Just think about that for a second, that George W. Bush vetoed a bill that would have outlawed torture. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Before the hour, thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered and answered your calls, Billy Foster, our technical director, Ben Birch, our podcast manager, Chris in Minnesota, is our senior correspondent, Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher, Bridget Wolf, our writer in residence, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. And don't forget, become a Nova M founding member. We, I haven't talked about this a lot lately because I've been so caught up with, talking about other stuff. But we need you to be a Nova M founding member. It costs you under a penny under $10 a month or $100 a year. If you sign up over the next, what, Kathy, month, week? I don't know. You get a free signed book, The Road to Air America, signed by Shelley Drobny and me. And The Road to Air America explains how that network was put together and the people who really did put it together, not this crew of morons that, that has it now and the crew of morons that had it after the Drobnys left. But the book's free. It'll be autographed by Shelley. I don't know how in the hell he's going to get me to autograph it, but what, he's going to send it to me? Send it down here and then say, whatever. But my autograph is not important. It is important that you become a member of Air America. So, I'm sorry, what did I say, Air America? Oh, my God, Nova M. I'm talking about Air America. I'm looking at Road to Air America, which is the title of the book. But it's very important that you become a founding member of Nova M. And the network, Nova M, has been on the air now for about 15 months? And it looks like we're going to make it, but we need the support that comes from being a founding member. So go to novamradio.com and find out how you can become a founding member, and you get the book free. And it costs you under $10 a month or $120 a year. Two quick emails about David Patterson. Reg writes in, he's not a newcomer to politics. Patterson has been in the New York State Senate since 1985. He's been minority leader there since 2002. He's a very bright man with a reputation for being able to work on both sides of the aisle with great skill. So that's good to know. Thanks, Reg. And also, Mike emails in regarding Sally Kern, the representative in the Oklahoma General Assembly, and I went to her website, Concerned Women for America, or no, the Eagle Forum, whatever, those right-wing hate groups. Mike writes that apparently she and her Baptist preacher husband run a strict religious home, and in the process, raised a gay son. Isn't that just amazing? How do you hate your own child? How do you do that? How do you, or unless you're just a complete hypocrite and you love your son, but you hate everybody else who happens to be gay? They're worse than terrorists, Sally Kern said. Oh, my God, you can go to her website, just do a Google on Sally Kern, and it pops right up, and you can send her an email if you want to. I just did. I sent her an email. Nothing nasty. I just asked her why she makes such ugly comments about gay folk, and does that mean she hates her own son? And then I added, Miss Kern, you must be a very sad woman. Back to your phone call. Steven is calling from Burbank, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Steven.
Yeah, hi, Mikey. Sorry I called you that. I don't have your permission. Would KTLK get upset at me if I subscribe to Nova M, you know, because
no,
I don't like
what,
hockey?
What? Why would they?
Oh, good, good. Then you might have a customer.
Oh, well, great.
I'm going to have to take issue with you, my son, because you said something that was like an error.
Uh-oh.
You said that... There's a song, Ebony and Ivory,
yeah,
by McCartney, right?
Yeah.
Very terrible song, worst song ever.
Worst song ever.
Uh-uh.
No?
No, the Christmas song, the McCartney Christmas song. That one is terrible. I go into the drugstore, get a Christmas card or something. I hear that. I immediately forget what I came in for. I head for the door. I run out, and just whatever sanity I have left, you know.
Can you sing a few bars? Go ahead.
I can't. I don't know any of the words, but I know some of the.
Well, go ahead. That's good.
You know that little thing of it. Well,
yeah.
You know, I used to be a professional musician, so
yeah.
You know, when my amp crapped out, I just stand up on stage on the mic and boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
So anyway, McCartney, you know, being English and all that, you know, he's a musician. And,
sure he is.
And the English were bad, you know, because of all they did with their empire, you know. But
yeah, that's right, Steve.
Compared to Jimmy Smith, forget it. I saw Jimmy Smith live.
You did?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
right,
man.
Right at Victory and Coldwater Canyon.
Yeah.
It's a sushi joint now, but this guy he totally cooked. It was unbelievable. He had him and a drummer, and the drummer was just like flowing. And all
okay.
Steven,
we're out of time, but I'll tell you what, I want to play this for you. So just don't hang up. Just listen. I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seekers. Take care. All right. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M.
The moon is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight. And that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The feeling's here. That only comes time of year. Simply.